I invite you to join with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you have revealed yourself to this world. You have done it not only in your revealed word, but you've made yourself known to all people by your powerful creation. You show that you are wise, divine, powerful. And also, Lord, you've instilled in our hearts a sense of right and wrong. You've impressed on us your image, and we have, though fallen by sin, a conscience, an understanding that there is a thing such as truth, righteousness, and goodness, and also evil. But Lord, greater than this, you've revealed yourself, who you are, more than just the God of justice or the God of power and wisdom, but the God of mercy, as you've given us your holy word. I pray, Lord, that those who do not know you will come to know you, not only by that natural knowledge as they seek you out, but hear of the truth of the God of mercy and grace, the Lord, who forgives us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. We're looking through a series of a Christian apologetics, which is defending or giving a rational reason behind what we believe. Last time we looked at the basics of what apologetics is and the proper use of our human reason. We'll continue looking at five more parts of apologetics using an outline that was provided by Michael Berg, who serves as professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College. This outline will take a look at how people defend the faith from the perspective of a philosopher, a historian, a scientist, and even an artist. Today we'll take up how a philosopher looks at the evidence of the existence of God. We'll look at how it's useful and some of its limitations. Philosophy is really something that all of us do. We all love wisdom, which is really what philosophy is about, the study of wisdom or logic. And as we analyze our situation, we ask questions like, why are we here? Or what are we made for? Or where did we come from? These are things that every human must eventually wrestle with. And with that comes our view of the world, or what's sometimes called a worldview. Do we believe there is a God, a personal being, who made this world and who's interested in our lives? Or is that God disconnected and distant, as many deists might say? Or is our worldview one that's agnostic, one that says we can't really know the truth, nobody can say for sure whether there is a God or not, or who that God is? And some people even hold a naturalistic view, where they say there's nothing but matter, energy, and space, and we're all just here by natural development and time. You can analyze someone's worldview by, yes, asking, is that worldview consistent? Does it match up with reality? Is that worldview something that is ultimately valuable? Does that worldview promote good things? What does that worldview inspire? Does it bring someone to love, truth, and justice? Or is it a worldview that leaves a very bleak outlook and doesn't value, but rather degrades human life? One could argue that no single worldview is perfect, but examine your worldview. And examine the view that Christians have of this world. Which ones value human life? Which ones provide hope? Which ones strive for truth, mercy, and justice? Philosophers, when they look at reasons for believing in a God, come down to arguments for God's existence. A philosopher might get down to what we call the cosmological argument, or the argument of everything exists, the cosmos, the universe, what caused it? The Bible actually uses this type of an argument as it points us to the natural knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul says that we see from the very beginning of time the things about God that can be made known have been made known to everyone. Or Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the wonders of his works. Ultimately, every philosopher, every human being must answer the question, who made all this and where did it come from? Another argument also found in the scriptures is what we might call the moral argument. It's the one that says, why do we believe in right and wrong, of a sense of fairness and justice, and why is that sometimes distorted? Right and wrong isn't what we see in the animal world. We're not like the animals. We have a sense of justice. And right and wrong isn't merely built by natural selection, because we've seen where that leads us, with the terrible atrocities some civilizations have come to. But no, we all look and we all say there must be something, some reason why we insist it is wrong to cheat, it is wrong to lie, you should be faithful, that murder is bad. And the argument goes, where did that sense of right and wrong come from? Well, the Bible gives us an answer. God made us in his image, in his likeness. Though we rebelled, that sense of right and wrong has been clouded and ruined. we still believe and understand there is an absolute moral truth we must adhere to. It's been said it's like when you look at a mountain reflected in a cool, clear lake. As you look at that lake near the mountain is clearly reflected, but when you throw a stone into it, the ripples come and that reflection is clouded. That's what sin has done. So that any philosophical argument about God is clouded. Whether it's the cosmological who caused this argument or the moral why do we have a sense of right and wrong argument, they all have their limitations and they all fall flat. They fail to bring us to what we can only find from God himself, the God who makes himself known to us and reveals not only is he a God of justice and holiness who hates what is wrong and evil, not only is he a God who is wise and powerful, but he's a God who loves us. And the scriptures bring us to understand and know our God in the fullest sense, the God who sent his Son, the God who took upon himself the weight and the curse of sin. And though mankind is unable to seek and find God with its own fallen reason, God comes to us in his holy word and makes his love known through Jesus Christ, that he forgives the sinner, and that the creator of all, who caused all things, will cause our bodies to rise from the grave, and that the God who is powerful and just will pardon our sin and allow us to live in his everlasting kingdom. Join with me and all Christians as we worship the Lord, that kind of God, who reveals himself in the Holy Scriptures. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor at Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus.